Daryl Ryder, Matt Gary with you till 10. Talk a little Guardians baseball. It is Memorial Day, which is usually when we kind of, I don't know, are supposed to have an idea just what type of baseball team we have to work with this summer. And I got to tell you, Matt, I'm still trying to figure these guys out a little bit. As I like to say, consistently inconsistent, both at the plate as well as with the pitching. But Stephen Vogt is finding ways, and yeah. I guess that's really what it's all about, just kind of finding ways. Emmanuel Class A is not the dominant closer that we had become spoiled the last couple of years watching. He's been giving up some runs this year. Not used to that. The offense, you mentioned it earlier in the show. They need to wake up the bats. I don't know if Pedro Serrano's around. We got some hats for bats or something like that, you know? Get Joe Boo on the case. I don't know, but I got to tell you, watching the Saturday night game was enjoyable. They had 8 hits with 2 strikes, which is not something that, not just with the Guardians, but any team in Major League Baseball. You're really not used to seeing that. So that was fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know about you. It's just real hard for me to get a good pulse of this baseball team here on Memorial Day, which is usually when you should have a pretty good idea what kind of ball club you got.
It's amazing, and we could throw it out there at 216-474-0092 to some of the callers. They still have the third-best record, tied for the third-best record in the American League. Only the Tigers and Yankees have better records. They didn't, again, and I know this was what really gets the fans upset, is they didn't build off of, in the offseason, go into the ALCS. They didn't make a big splash. They didn't add anybody in right field. Right. They didn't go get a free agent. They didn't sign a Jock Peterson or somebody like that, even if it was a one-year deal to go, all right, we're going to go get a veteran bat, put him in right field, DH, whatever it is. And I know that their narrative always has been, hey, we don't want to block some of these young guys from giving them opportunities. The guys they've put out in right field, though, this year, Daryl, like Noel, Nolan Jones, Will Brennan has played a little bit out there. They're all bad. They've all been bad.
Yeah.
And I know John Kenzie's young, and it's Big Christmas, and what an October he had. And Nolan Jones, they went out and got, again, who 2 years ago put up, 23 home runs and 80-some-odd RBIs. You're like, all right, if we can get the 2023 version of Nolan Jones, we'll be all right. And none of them have hit. I mean, and they're not even, they're below replaceable, replacement players, the way they've been playing. So that's the thing is, yes, you now have Lane Thomas back and healthy, but he hasn't hit all year. David Fry, they need back. And the question is, how long will Vogt pull the rabbit out of his hat here? Because he's done a great job managing, but you look up and you go, they have a negative run differential. They have a minus 11. Right. And they just have not scored enough. And they find a way, man. Angel Martinez has been great. Jose and Kwan have been really good. Santana's heated up a little bit. They've had nights, like you said, Saturday night, where they came back and won. But this will be a big test this week with the Dodgers and Otani coming in, because if they have to win a 6-5 game or a 7-6 game, the question is, can they do that with this offense? But I like the way they're playing right now, and I like the way they played in Detroit this weekend, and the pitching was phenomenal. But you're right. It's not, are they one of the best teams in the American League? Can they take the next step and get to the World Series? I think they can, because the American League is a little bit weaker. But you're right. They don't have enough hitting right now, and the question is, will they go get somebody? Or are they waiting for Chase DeLauder to come back, be healthy, and be that impact bat? Who also, by the way, is young and cheap.
Yeah. Right?
Let's be honest.
Sounds like a Cleveland Guardian already.
That's you're throwing every major league line in the books out here, Daryl. But it's true.
I got them all. Movies are memorized.
It's true. So I liked what I saw this weekend, but again, now they've got to keep it going. And Bybee was great last weekend. Ciccone's look good. So the pitching's there again. But again, we sit here and say right field, shortstop, second base, not getting enough offense. It's the same thing we said a year ago at this time.
Yeah, like a broken record. John Kenzie Noel's been a little disappointing for me. I'm trying to be diplomatic be nice. Here, you know. I'm not trying to kill the kid, but like, yeah. I don't know, maybe fairly or not. I just feel like it's like another Oscar Gonzalez situation, right? I mean, I had such high hopes for him, especially offensively, but it's either he hits the ball a really, really long way or he just doesn't touch the baseball. And that's just not going to get it done. The batting average is sub 150. Like, I expect that from Austin Hedges, so, like, I'm not going to get mad that Austin Hedges is hitting below 150, no. Because that's pretty much what, like, if he hits above 150, it's news to me. If he makes contact with a baseball, like, I remember in spring training, he homered or something, and I was filling in. I go, what, you mean to tell me Austin Hedges accidentally ran into a baseball?
He's hit a couple this year. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, wow, miracles do happen. But he's a great backup catcher. He calls a great game, and he's like, glue guys matter in baseball, and he's a glue guy. The one year he wasn't here, that clubhouse just wasn't the same. So I guess you're paying him to be the glue guy there in your clubhouse because you aren't paying him to hit. But yeah, I can't figure out John Kenzie Noel and what's wrong with him right now. And also, too, can it be fixed? Like, can they get this kid on track? Because he's got tremendous power potential, but the consistency just isn't there. Like, I can live with a guy who hits 230, 240 if he's knocking the ball out of the ballpark with regularity. But, like, you know, John Kenzie's not doing that either. And so I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but I look at him and I can't figure the kid out.
Yeah, no, I mean, you just said a kid. I mean, he's 23.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not sure they know what to do with him because, number one, you could send him back down to Columbus and just give him regular bats and have him gain some confidence. But again, they like that he's a right-handed bat. Most of their outfielders that they've had hit from the left side. Obviously, Lane Thomas is another one that hits from the right side. But just two home runs. We're almost 2 months in. OPS of 408. I mean, not going to get it done. And I think eventually, when David Fry comes back, which could be soon, John Kenzie could be the odd man out because Nolan Jones is out of options. And they're trying like heck to get Nolan going. I mean, they're playing him pretty much every day. Even yesterday against Skubal, against the lefty, he was out there. And I guess some of it, too, was they're arresting Kwan, they're arresting Santana, they gave Schneeman a day off. But yeah, I mean, John Kenzie was a guy that we saw in the playoffs last year save the season with one swing of the bat to tie the game against the Yankees, and you're going, all right, there's power there that they've been, you know, the old bit of, oh, we need a right-handed power bat. We haven't had one since Napoli. I mean, we talked about that ad nauseum in this town.
And like, party at Napoli's.
That's right, baby. But like, I got that T-shirt somewhere, but they need him to wake up. But unfortunately, he's not playable a lot of times against tough right-handers. And then even yesterday, just swings over everything. And that's the biggest thing is center field and right field right now. Because when you have Lane Thomas in center and you've got Noel or Jones in right, you're just not getting any offense there. But yet, here this team sits for all the complaining we do and hand-wringing about the offense.
Right.
And they've got they're tied for the third best record in the league, in the American League. And they're only four games back of first. I mean, all the talk about, the Cavs can make a run because the East is weak. Well, the American League is not what it used to be in terms of strength. I mean, the AL East, you got one team above 500. The best division in the game actually is AL Central. But the Guardians have won that division before and they've won it more than anybody. So they can do it. But they've got to find a way to score more. They're not they're going to be one and done if they get to the postseason. They're not scoring enough runs.
Yeah, for all the complaining we're doing about the Guardians, they're right there in the thick of the division, and we're not Baltimore. Boy, what a stinker the Orioles have! Oh my goodness gracious! Like you thought that they had finally kind of turned the corner as a franchise. And, man, they just went right back into the dumpster this year. I think that might be of the early season surprises, and this is not a compliment, they are the early season surprise because they're as bad as they are.
They're almost as bad as the White Sox.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do.
I mean, the White Sox, I think, are a game behind them. That's crazy to me because there's so much young talent on that Oriole roster. But there's just certain years, and you know this, Daryl, in baseball, where you just don't have it. Bullpen collapses, offense guys go in the slides, and that's, you know, they fired the manager already. That's bad. That was a team that people thought would go to the playoffs. That's the thing about the Guardians. And I know fans get a little bit upset about, all right, we had a great year last year. We were, you know, 3 wins away from the World Series. And yet you trade Josh Naylor, you trade Andrés Giménez, who were 2 fan favorites. What are we doing here?
Yeah, well, they were getting money, future money that wasn't going to be matching the production off the books is what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, especially with Andrés. I mean, there are people in Toronto. I saw an article in the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun, one of the two, where they're already saying, this team is better off with Giménez on the injured list.
Didn't he homer like the first game or the second
game?
First two games, and Guardians fans were losing their mind.
What a
horrible, horrible decision that was. And then, reality has set in, and then that actually was not a bad move by the Guardians.
No, not at all. But so that's the thing about the Guards is like they win. They're winning. They're consistent. Every year this team is in contention, it seems like, whether it was Francona, whether it's now Steven Vogt. But fans still have that question mark about, at the very top, how do you go from ALCS to we're dealing a right side of our infield, basically.
Yeah.
They brought Santana back. His production's been okay. Not bad. And he's kind of heating up a little bit right now, which is good to see. But where is this thing headed? Because, like you said, they're playing better right now. Last weekend was a disaster in Cincinnati, and you have a clunker or two series that you just have a clunker. But this one, they go in Detroit, take 3 out of 4. Now they're coming on to play the Dodgers. We're going to find out where this team is. But I like the team, and I like where they're at. But the offense, there's just not enough offense, and they've got to figure out how they're going to do that. Because, like you said, a year ago we went, man, right field's a black hole and shortstop's a black hole offensively. And it hasn't changed, no matter if it's Noel and Jones, whether it's now Arias instead of Rocchio. And Gabby had his moments early in the year, but I think he's 5 for his last 50 at the plate. So that's not going to work.
Yeah, could really use Josh Naylor's 288, 5 homers, and 31 RBIs. I'm not going to lie there.
No.
216-474-0092. If you're, what are you expecting from the Guardians? Is where Memorial Day, we in for a fun summer? Do you think they're going to go in the tank? If you think they're going in the tank, we're not here for that negativity on Memorial Day. I'm just
no,
saying
we got the Dodgers coming to town.
It's going to be a fun week of baseball down at Progressive Field. It's the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show. Daryl Ryder, Matt Derry with you till 10 here on the FAMP. It's the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. No Ken Carmen, no Anthony Lima. They're preparing to stuff their faces with lots of barbecue. So am I. I'm sure Matt Derry is too. He's with me this morning. What's on the grill today, Matt?
Sausages, my brother.
All right, yeah, you can't ever go wrong with sausages on the grill.
Come on now.
I'm going to a little cookout before I head down to the ballpark to take in the Shohei Ohtani show. Hopefully we don't get a lot of Shohei Ohtani, but I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of Shohei Ohtani this week.
Dude's got 18 home runs. Even last night, the Dodgers lost to the Mets, and he was all the offense with a bomb. He's something else.
He really is.
And there'll be a lot of Dodger fans, or at least Ohtani fans, in the building. That's just how it goes. The dude's a rock star. You know, he really is. I wish there wasn't the language barrier there, because I think it sounds like he's got a great personality. He's fun. You know, whatever interview he does, he's got to have the translator with him, which is fine. But
which is a lot of guys in Major League Baseball, let's be honest about it. I mean, you know, we have that with Hosey here. And a lot of that's to make sure that, you know, not so much the language barrier, you know, context matters, you know what I'm saying? And
for sure,
you want to make sure that what he's expressing is, you know, not taken out of context. So you certainly understand, you know, that aspect of it, but you're right. I mean, he's the modern day Babe Ruth. I mean, he's you know, still rehabbing. They got him throwing bullpens. I saw trying to get him back on the mound here pretty soon. Thankfully, thankfully only have to worry about his bat this series and don't have to worry about him pitching. But, I mean, I kind of feel like he's the modern-day Babe Ruth.
He's incredible. I mean, best player in the game. It's not even close. But, again, because, you know, Major League Baseball is so far behind in terms of how they promote players and how they market themselves, because I think the game is in a healthy place. But you don't see a ton of, you know, the NBA guys are everywhere. You just see that. NFL, we know, is king. But a guy like Ohtani, to me, I would be marketing him as much as possible. But it's kind of difficult with the language barrier. But, yeah, seeing him in person, I mean, every at-bat when he's up there, just people got their phones out. It's an experience.
It's a viral moment. The guy's warming up, just throwing baseballs in the outfield. Everyone's got the phones out. I mean, he's a magnet. he is the pure definition of a superstar. I mean, he sets his glove down, and it's like a headline somewhere in the sphere of media that we live amongst these days. But I'm looking forward to seeing him this week. Hopefully, he doesn't do any damage. I'm not confident in that because he's just like so good.
He's so good.
But I'm just glad that he's not pitching right now, and he can save that for everybody else around Major League Baseball. Because I read about the stories and what Babe Ruth did, you know, coming up with the pitching and obviously the hitting, and you're like, I wonder if I'll ever see that.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to see it. And then here we are in 2025, and Shohei's been doing it at a high level for a couple of years now. And you almost just take it for granted, right? It's such an incredible feat, you know, and he's coming off the injury. They've got him, throwing sides and bullpens now, trying to get him back on the mound. The Dodgers aren't paying anyone for another 25 years. It must be nice. They're on the Bobby Bonilla payroll plan.
I don't know how they, you know, it's crazy. I read so much stuff in the offseason about how they structured their payroll in these contracts. And again, like you and I were talking about the Cavs, fans don't care. They just want their best players there. They want the owner to pay, and they don't want to worry about money. But how the Dodgers have structured this is one of the flaws of baseball. Because this team can go out and sign Yamamoto, who's pitching tonight, and Sasaki, who's hurt right now, Ohtani, Teoscar Hernandez. They can go get Mookie Betts and then trade for him and then sign him and pay him an exorbitant amount of money, and the Guardians obviously don't do that. Jose Ramirez gave them a hometown discount. The Guardians' biggest signing this winter was Paul Sewald. and the winter before was Austin Hedges. So it's like, it's hard, and I get why fans sometimes don't get excited or say, how do we compete with them? Yet, again, we look up and you go, it's not like the Dodgers have that many more wins than the Guardians do. They don't. I mean, the Dodgers have, I think, 30 wins and the Guardians have 29. So they're there, and they can compete with these teams, 32 wins. But, you know, they just don't have the high-profile stars that the Dodgers do, or the Yankees do, for that matter, because that's not how the game is structured right now. That's why a lot of people have been turned off to it. Yet, the game, I think, is healthy, like we talked about. I mean, the games are flying by. You're not sitting there for three and a half hours anymore. They're moving, which is good. It's a good thing.
I'm with the Yamamoto pitching tonight, if the Guardians win, I wonder if we're going to get a "We Killed Yamamoto" headline, a little West Wing reference there.
I thought you were going to go with, what was the movie with Bruce Willis that we always argue, is it a Christmas movie or not?
Oh, Die Hard.
I thought you were going to go with a Die Hard.
No. Oh, the Nakatomi Plaza?
Yes,
no.
Yes. You know your movies, Daryl. You were all over.
I had no life growing up. It was work and movies. and a lot of caffeine in between.
Jeez, you know your stuff. But, it should be. I'm glad it's Memorial Day night. I mean, I know it's still going to be a school night for some, but hopefully the ballpark is packed, because this team's playing all right, and they're coming off a good weekend series, and the Dodgers are a huge draw. Do you like that every year the Guardians are playing the Dodgers? Do you like this now expanded schedule where you're seeing everybody?
When they first went to it, I didn't like it, I'll admit, because I kind of get stuck in my ways, and change is always something that I struggle with in life. I'll admit that. But I also understand you have to adapt or die, not only in this business, but just life in general. So I've kind of come around to it. I like the fact that, you know, I mean, look, I'm not going to get up for the big Guardians Diamondback series whenever that might happen to occur, right? But the fact that the Cubs come to town occasionally now and the Dodgers come to town, I honestly think it's good for the game. Now that they've made the DH a universal thing, right, it's no longer... if you're in a National League park, your pitchers have to hit. Although I'm not going to lie, I'm going to miss Dave Burba hitting home runs against the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss watching Bartolo Colon swing a bat. But yeah, I kind of have come around to some of the changes that Rob Manfred has made with the game scheduling. Some of the rules, I've kind of come around. I think that one of my complaints with baseball, and there are many, and we've talked about some of them this morning, Matt,
sure,
has been, besides the absolute stupidity when it comes to how they market their sport, has been the imbalance in the game, and also, too, the... like stuck in yesteryear, right?
Oh,
where,
for sure.
Where, well, this is the way it's always been done. It's tradition. We can't, you know, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, but you know what? Kids today, if you want to be able to reach them, they really don't care about tradition. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, and I don't think kids today mean that disrespectfully, but I'm quite okay with the way they're doing it. Do I really need to see Guardians, Tigers 20 times a year, or Guardians, White Sox 20 times a year? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think we suffer because what'd they do? Cut two series per team out? Because I think, yeah, because it's they got 9 more games against the Tigers. So it's about what, 12, 13 games instead of the 19
instead
or 20?
Of 18 or 20.
Yeah. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
No, neither do I. And I think the fact that Cleveland fans get three days to see the best player in the game come to their barn, I think is pretty cool. I do. I'm with you on that. And I think pitch clock, at first I'm like, what are they doing? You got to be kidding me. But they've adapted. It's worked. Even the pitch com and the hats.
Yep.
Is now working for the
most
part.
Don't have to worry about the whole stealing the signals controversy, yeah, banging the trash cans and all that kind of stuff.
No.
Wait, you know what? Where was PitchCom in like 2015, darn it?
I know. We needed it in 2016. Maybe we would have beaten the Cubs. But like, I think it's good. I do. And I think, but again, like you said, there's a lot of fans that are gone because they're like, number one, and I'm not doing this today, and neither are you, I know this, but like, they don't like the name change. And number two, and that was years ago. Please get over it. And then number two is just, you know, you're right. This off season, trying to build off of an ALCS appearance against the Yankees, and the Mets go out and get Juan Soto, and the Dodgers go out and get Sasaki and all these guys. And the
Guardians, it's a helpless feeling if you're
just don't spend.
Yeah,
and they're allowed. And a lot. Imagine being in Pittsburgh.
I was just about to say that. You know what? For all the bickering that Guardians fans have with
the Dolan's cheap crowd,
the Dolan's discounts crowd. You could be a Pirate fan.
Imagine
where they don't even try.
No,
neither do the Rockies.
Neither do the Rockies. Yep. Neither do the Marlins. You know, the A's are a joke. The White Sox. I mean, it's like.
By the way, did you see the A's manager ripping that minor league ballpark the other day?
Well, he should. You've got two teams right now. Playing
so
in minor league stadiums. And I know the Rays stadium roof blew off and everything else, but that's embarrassing. Embarrassing. Really is. But that's a Manfred problem. But,
yeah,
you know, we've got a good team here. The Guardians are good.
That's the thing.
Is,
like, you can say what you want about payroll, but they feel the competitive team year in
every
and year,
year
out. And they're not set, you know, it's not like the 90s teams, right?
No.
You know, but, man, they just find ways. And ever since, and I give Terry Francona a lot of credit for this, because I used to kill Mark Shapiro. They hated me over at 2401 Ontario Street because I hated the defeatist attitude of, well, we're in Cleveland. We're small market. There's only so much we can do. And maybe we'll be the Marlins once every 5 years. And if we get lucky, maybe do a little something, something, right? And then Tito came in and was like, you know what? Yeah, we are small market, but darn it, our job is to find a way, and we're going to find a way. And they did, and they continue even without Tito. I mean, I think Stephen Vogt is a younger version of Tito. And I want to talk about that with you next, Matt, about the magic that Stephen Vogt is working with this ball club and with this organization. He seems to be a younger version of Tito, who's now down in Cincinnati. And, well, he kind of has his own problems with the Reds, but we ain't worried about that. It's the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Ken and Lima, they'll be back tomorrow. Right now, you got Daryl and Matt with you till 10 here on The Fan. For the purposes of this show, our guests are you. I really hate bothering people on holidays. I hate bothering people in general, but I really hate bothering them on holidays. You're welcome to join the show, 216-474-0092. Talk a little Guardians baseball this morning. They took 3 of 4 up in Motown. Yesterday was a give-it-away day, or just get-out-of-town day, or we just don't want to play anybody day, or get a day off without actually having a day off day. Dodgers in town tonight. Hopefully everyone's fired up for that. Shohei Ohtani is going to be hopefully striking out a lot and not hitting baseballs into Lake Erie. No promises, though. Matt, before we went to break there, I want to touch on Stephen Vogt.
Yeah.
And he reminds me, and it hit me last year when I first met him and had an opportunity to speak with him. I was like, man, this guy's like a younger version of Terry Francona, just the way he talks. And now getting to watch him operate for a season, now we're a couple months here into his second season with this organization. He really is, I think, I totally get why they hired him. He talks like Tito. He seems to approach the game like Tito. Maybe, you know, doesn't have the, you know, the historical depth that Francona had, right? But like, I see so much of Tito in him that it's, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that he has had the success that he had in his rookie season with the team. And then coming back this year, as we were talking about, not a great offseason, right?
Correct.
No splashy moves, but no. Here we are talking about after people started freaking out before they went to the Minnesota about, oh my gosh, is this the beginning of the end for the Guardians? And you know, this road trip could kill the season. And they go to Detroit and they win the first three games of the series, and I think everybody can calm down now. And I think Vogt has a large part to do with it. We get caught up in the day-to-day. I remember Tito would say when he was in Boston, like every game was like a season in and of itself, right? They lived and died day by day. And when you talk about the game of baseball, you really can't do that because it's 162 of these things, plus if you're lucky enough to get into the playoffs. But you just kind of have to take it a day at a time. When I watch Vogt, when I listen to him, I just see Terry Francona.
He's damn good. And I mean, like you said, his counterpart this weekend, AJ Hinch, obviously, who's a known cheater. Let's get that out there.
cheater, pumpkin eater.
But he is. But AJ Hinch is a damn good manager, and he got Detroit into the playoffs last year. They won a round, they nearly won two rounds.
Did they cheat last year?
No, I don't think
so. Tell the truth, Matt. Come on. Did they cheat last year?
In Houston, he was banging garbage cans. I think that's in the past.
But, what's he suspected of doing in Detroit?
Nothing. I think
what's he under investigation for?
I think it's legit. Okay. I'm just a bitter Guardians fan that has lived in Michigan and has hated the Tigers since I was a kid. But like,
I'm sure that goes over well in Detroit for you, by the way.
Hinch got Gleyber Torres, Jack Flaherty. That was the offseason. They needed to add some parts, and they did. And like we said, with Vogt, you know, it was Paul Sewald and Jacob Junis. I mean, and it was, hey, we got young guys coming, all this stuff that the organization has had to say because they have not spent. But he's a damn good manager, and I think you're right. I mean, you know, you and I will talk in the next hour about Kevin Stefanski going on with the guys on Friday morning. I thought the Browns coach did a great job. I thought he was transparent, spoke like a coach, was relaxed, and I think you feel good about him. And again, it doesn't matter if he wins a press conference or goes on the morning show, which is a smart move by the Browns to put him on. But, like, he just sounded professional and did well. Vogt, he's not going to, you know, wow you with every quote, and he's not Tito in terms of personality, but he just, he's got a great pulse for the game. Former player, recently played, you know, when he was catching in Oakland, and the guys love him, and he knows what he's doing. And you're right, this weekend with some of the moves made in some of these close games, how he handles the bullpen, confidence he has in a lot, been playing a lot of guys. And look, sometimes you say, oh, that's great managing because he's platooning and mixing and matching, when in reality, it might be because you don't have, you have to play Nolan Jones and John Kenzie as a platoon because neither are any good.
Right. So, like, sometimes you got to make do with what you have.
Right, but he handles it well. I mean, we a lot of Guardian fans wring their hands about, you know, not having enough talent, not having this, not having that, yet here they sit. Only Detroit and the Yankees have a better record in the American League. And I think Vogt would tell you, we could play better. You know, yesterday was sloppy. Three errors and two hits. There have been some games where they haven't caught the baseball well. They haven't put a bunt down. But yet, here they sit with the third best record in the American League. I think it's a testament to him. I do.
Well, we saw it Saturday night. Couldn't get the bunt down. Slapped a double instead. All right, fine. Works for me.
I know. That I'm not sure that's one where you say, man, Vogt's a genius. That was more
I don't think that's how Vogt drew that one up.
Anel Martinez couldn't get the bunt down, but the guys love playing for him. You could tell.
Oh, and of course, yeah.
That's half the battle, because I think that's a long season. It's a grind, and he's got the right mindset for a guy that's only managed for a year and a half.
Got to have good people skills if you're going to be a baseball manager, and Vogt seems to have that. You know, I want to mention this, and I actually kind of feel bad we got this deep in the show, Matt, without bringing it up. Nick Enright made his debut yesterday. What a tremendous story this is. A couple of years ago, he was diagnosed with lymphoma, a type of lymphoma, stage 2, continued to pitch throughout his treatments in the minors. He kept, you know, tried to keep his routine up, and he goes out there and makes his big league debut. And not only does he make his big league debut, but he pitches really, really well, you know, on top of it. I mean, just to get there, right? Is a story in and of itself, but the fact that he went out and threw well, just what a beautiful story that is.
It was cool, and they talked about it on the broadcast yesterday. I mean, you're right, going through cancer treatments and still trying to pitch, and had his family there in Detroit for the game, and obviously the game got away from them yesterday. I mean, Logan Allen was brutal and then couldn't field his position, and then you got Skubal going for a perfect game, so it was almost like perfect time to get Enright in with Hunter Gaddis on a bereavement leave, so Nick comes up from AAA and looked good. And had, you know, fastball in the upper mid-90s, slider that was working, he looked good. And it's a cool story because you're right. A lot of these guys that have to go through cancer treatments, or you're not sure what stage it's in, aren't sure if they're ever going to make it and aren't sure if they're ever going to even play baseball again. And so for him to get that opportunity, and Zach Meisel wrote a great piece in The Athletic about it. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, his parents were there. His wife was there, and he had some other family in the stands too. Just I know that it's one of those, you know, they lost the game. I get, but you know what? Sometimes you got to just take a step back.
Total human side.
And you have to just respect and appreciate, you know, feel good stories like this. We always, and I'm guilty of it too. I'll admit, you know, we get so caught up in the negativity and complaining and picking things apart. But like when you see something like this happen, like this is what sports are about. This is what makes it great. This is a young man that he's 28 years old, you know, had to fight a life-threatening situation, still found a way to continue his professional baseball career while doing that, and then is able to get up to the highest level, get to the major leagues, and then in front of his parents and his family, he's able to go out there and just have an absolutely spectacular debut. I mean, that right there, that type of a story is why folks are fans. And I want to play a clip. This is after the game. This is Enright talking about making his big league debut and after everything he's been through. Here's Matt.
After that second inning, I saw my whole family right there. And yeah, that was after I got in the dugout, I kind of had to collect myself a little bit because it's an emotional moment for me. And like I said, all the sacrifices that they've done these last couple of years, I mean, every single thing that I felt, they felt in the exact same way. And so for all of us to be here and celebrate it together was just an incredible experience.
Yeah, I mean, he goes through this, I can't even put into words, you know, what he went through, but like, and he's thanking his, you know, everyone else around him, and he's the one that fought through it, right? I had to touch on it because it's such a wonderful story,
and you just said it, Daryl. He's 28, so yeah. You get to that stage of 25, 26, and you wonder, will I ever hit a big league mound?
Yeah.
And he's in the right organization. Obviously, the Guardians have developed, and this is what they're known for, is that pitching factory. But they've got a lot of guys, and it's not easy to get on that 25, 26-man roster and get the opportunity. On top of the fact that you have just beaten cancer,
yeah,
and you're 28, like I said, normally you get to 25, 26, you wonder if I'll ever get there. And it's a sweet story. And hopefully, you know, I'm not sure how long Hunter Gaddis is going to be out on bereavement leave. But, you know, think about Nick Enright getting another opportunity. You never know in the next couple of days to be pitching against the Dodgers in what is hopefully a full ballpark in Cleveland. It's sweet, man. It's good stuff. And he didn't embarrass himself yesterday. Two scoreless innings on Roku, but it was still a national game, so people nationally got to see it.
It still counts. It's in the box score. He's in the books. And full circle too. He's a 20th round pick of the Guardians back in 2019. The Marlins picked him up in the Rule 5 draft in 2022, and 2 weeks later he gets diagnosed, ends up back with the Guardians here. And he's able to work his way back and get himself major league ready, and he gets the call up and gets an opportunity, and like you said, he pitched lights out in those two innings, it's just such a wonderful story, and I hope that just whether you're a Guardians fan or not, it's one of those stories. It doesn't matter who you're rooting for. Exactly. You root for the person, right? That is just like that is really the perfect story. All right, coming up, it is the most wonderful time of year. Well, not really. It's just OTAs. But somehow I've got to find a way to hype this up to get you just as excited as I am for it, because I'll be out there Wednesday shooting lots of Shedeur Sanders video because they can't get enough of Shedeur Sanders. Kevin Stefanski was on with the boys on Friday. There's a couple of things that Stefanski said that Matt and I want to get to next as we begin the process of hyping up the most wonderful time of year. It's off-season training activities. Oh, give me a four-barrel quarterback competition. Oh, the fun heats up this week. I can't wait. It's the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, Memorial Day edition. Daryl Ryder and Matt Derry with you until 10 here on The Fan.